I don't want to call it supernatural because I don't know if it was, but it was like whether I saw his soul or felt his soul or something changed in that room, that what made my granddad was gone.
The Profile with Premier Christianity Magazine.
Hi, and welcome to The Profile on Premier Christian Radio. I'm Emma Fowle. The Profile is a show where we talk with a well-known Christian about their faith, their life, and their ministry. And it is brought to you in association with the UK's leading Christian magazine, Premier Christianity. Today on The Profile, I'm speaking to Jay Painter and his best friend, Lewis Ribaldo. When Jay came to faith 2 years ago, the 20-something began making videos for other young people who might also be searching for Jesus on the internet. Then he convinced his friend Lewis, who was an atheist, to attend an Alpha course with him and film the whole thing for the gram. Today we talk about friendship, finding peace, and whether it really is possible to go from atheist to Christian in just 12 weeks. And in case you're tempted to bail early on this one, you'll need to listen right to the end to find out. Now, Jay and Lewis, if the people that are listening to this, some of our audience are not going to be big on Instagram, so they may not know who you are. But so I'm just going to share a bit of a backstory quickly. You've been sharing your own faith journey on Instagram for the last year or so, and also the story of sharing that journey with your best friend and inviting him to Alpha. Yeah. With you to explore the Christian faith. Lewis, you are that best friend. So it's lovely to have you both here with me today. To get started, can I just ask you, Jay, to tell us, before your conversion to Christianity a couple of years ago, what did your life look like in terms of faith? What were your beliefs? What were you brought up with?
So I was brought up in an atheist, agnostic maybe world with my parents, my brother, and my whole friendship group. Never really thought about Christianity at all, wasn't really exposed to it, and I think it was in a way shunned in my house. There was no thought of Christianity, and that was kind of my upbringing around Christ. I just had no idea who he was other than a small bit of exposure at primary school, really.
And what about you, Lewis?
Very much the same. I grew up here with a big family, and everyone got baptized at birth except for me. Didn't learn much about Christianity or any religion for that matter. There's no exposure to it. It was never discussed in the household, apart from obviously religious education at school. So I think after year nine, never heard of it ever again, really.
Did you ever ask your parents why you were the only child that didn't get that christened?
And it was just, there's a lot of complications between parents at the time. It just sort of slipped up.
You just got left out of that one.
I did, unfortunately.
So what changed for you, Jay? At what point did you decide to reinvestigate the claims of the Christian faith?
So in 2024, May time, my granddad passed away. And it was in that moment, I was in the room when he passed. And it was a super weird experience. I don't want to call it supernatural because I don't know if it was. But it was like whether I saw his soul or felt his soul or something changed in that room, that what made my granddad was gone.
Wow.
So it's from that moment I'd kind of moved from this hard atheist position of there's nothing else. When we die, we die. To I've seen something rather strange here. I'd almost in that moment moved from atheism to theism. I knew that there must have been a soul. There must have been something outside of what my original belief was. So then it led me down the rabbit hole of what did I just experience? And I kind of got targeted on social media as well as doing my own research. And I went down and I did my due diligence to look at all the major religions and to see if religions fitted me. And I remember stumbling across a lot of Christian content, and it was like, there's so much evidence around the Gospels. And I think as an atheist, you kind of just almost see the Gospels and the story of Christ as myth, and you don't think there's any evidence behind it because that's kind of what you're taught to believe. But I'd seen so much evidence behind it that there's 4,000 plus manuscripts behind these gospel accounts. Read it for yourself as historical narrative and decide whether you think Jesus is a total liar or if he's telling the truth. And I remember it vividly. I went to the shops and I bought my first Bible, and it was, I sat down and I'm pretty sure I read all four Gospels in one go. I was like, I owe it to myself. I've watched so much. I've learned so much now. I owe it to myself to read these Gospels. And I read them. And it was the words that Jesus spoke were, they were just standing out on the page. It was like I was looking down on top of these words and they were just flying off and convicting me in all types of ways. And I'd read about who Christ was. And it was in that person of Christ that, if he is who he says he is, the Saviour, that's who I need. That's what I felt and that's who I needed. So it was almost in that moment I gave my life to Christ. Admittedly, I didn't know what to do with that. Yeah. So I went to church and I spoke to one of the ladies, because I'd been to church a couple of times. I spoke to one of the ladies that welcomed me in, and I was like, what do I do with this? And she goes, oh, let's sit down. We can pray. And it was in that moment I declared that Christ was Lord and gave my life to Christ in the church. So, yeah, that's kind of my backstory and a bit of my testimony.
So really, evangelism for you looked like the internet algorithm. Like, once you, this is what we all know is happening, isn't it? Once we start searching something up, it starts appearing on your Instagram feed, and everywhere you look, you're being, and that's what happened to you. You started seeing Christian content and influencers and people talking about testimonies, and that led you to explore Christianity for yourself.
Yeah,
that's phenomenal.
Pretty much that. I think it was important for me to not just jump straight into Christianity. I think it was like, I know there's a church on my street corners, but it was like, well, is there any proof and evidence in other religions? And there is, but it's like, well, what one do I believe to be the truth? So after kind of going in a roundabout fashion of doing my research online, I then landed upon Christ and the figure of Christ and going, he is the truth. He is the religion and the person that I need to seek.
And Lewis, can I ask you, Jay's your best mate, at this stage, as he's going through this process, did you know any of this was going on? Had he talked to you about it at all?
He spoke to me about his grandfather passing away. And a common topic for our walks, like we would meet up every once in a while and just go for a walk through the park. And he did start exploring faith, but it was never more than just like a conversation at the time. I think he was quite shy of being open about it with me. And I don't blame him, to be fair, because I know what that's like. It's you're nervous about, as you're exploring this, as you're starting to investigate it yourself, then as you find yourself getting deeper and deeper and believing it. So I do get why he was a little bit shy at first. But then he started changing. And then he started being a lot more peaceful, a lot more quiet. And it was resonating from him. I must admit, it was nice to see the transformation in him.
That's really interesting that you actually noticed his character changing and that spoke to you.
Yeah, it was quite a significant change. Yeah.
Really? Wow. That's really interesting. Did you know that change was going on? Did he?
I think I've always expressed it. I can't remember the verse. I need to look up the verse. But it's like this inexpressible joy that you've got when you have the Holy Spirit with you. And for me, it was like, I just had like a new lease of life. The Holy Spirit was the God of the universe was now living inside me. And it was just like it's just a change. I could feel it in who I was. And I'm really pleased that Lewis saw that, because that's what I was feeling. And that's how I was hoping to show the changes that God had made in me. But it's really, really nice to hear that Lewis had seen that. But.
So tell us how you got from that moment to, hi, Lewis, would you like to, A, come on an alpha course with me, and B, can I film this for the entire world to watch on the internet?
I've been to church and I'd done an alpha course previously on my own in church. And I know that they're really valuable, because I did one kind of at the start of my journey, really. And there's so much good information on an alpha course. So I was like, I knew about an alpha course. I knew what it was. And this is quite a while into my faith journey. I'd been over a year into my faith journey. And I just started making some video, like I made some videos about Jesus and talking about my faith journey. And I remember the church was always very insistent on, invite someone. You need to invite someone. Like, you must invite someone. And I'm sat there like, no, I don't think I want to invite anyone. I don't think I want to. And that's what it is. It's like, you think that your friends are going to say no, so then you don't invite them. So I was like Lewis said, we go for like quite a lot of walks. Once a week.
That's so wholesome, by the way. We were doing
a walk. Yeah, just lots of bark. And we just talk about problems and stuff, weren't we? Or like things that have gone well. And then I remember it well. I felt conviction about inviting someone to Alpha. And I was like, I need to invite someone. And I was like, if there's anyone I want to invite, and I know I could invite, it's Lewis. Because I do remember this chat that we had around the park, and it's like, Lewis, there's this thing called an Alpha course. You're gonna learn about Jesus and like the meaning of life and all of this, and I reckon that you'd really enjoy it, and I think you should come with me. And Lewis will speak for himself, but it was like, I don't know if I want to do that. I don't think that's for me.
Were you in any way warm towards Christian faith at this point, or was this like a total sidebar?
Jay kind of described me when we were in the Alpha course. He described me as the most Christian non-Christian that he's ever met, and I think that that's pretty spot on, because I wasn't very judgy of it. I was just very much like trying to stay out of the way of it, sort of fly under the radar. So when he approached me for it, of course I was like, oh, I don't know, you know, I'm sort of on the fence. It's kind of not really my sort of thing, you know. I'm living life as an atheist right now. It's not done me any wrong yet. And then obviously he came up with the idea of, oh, you know, I'm on social media, you know, I'm trying to make it big, I'm being influenced.
I never have once said that. That's a total lie.
He's teasing you.
you know, I've got the social media page, and I would really love to share the story, if you'd be willing to document this with me. And I was also quite a bit, oh, I'm not too sure about that. He was like, you're my best friend. And I was like, you know what? I'll do it.
It sounds a little bit like he blackmailed you into it. I'm not going to lie.
Well, this is it, right? I knew how much of a good friend Lewis was to me. And it was
so you leveraged that.
I did. I absolutely leveraged it. I absolutely leveraged it, because my vision was like, Lewis, I've got a really cool thing we could do here. Like this, can you go from atheist to Christian in 12 weeks? I think that would do really well. I think people would love that. I think people would really resonate with that. And Lewis even said, it was like, objectively, that does sound like a pretty good idea. And it was a case of like, I want to help you, so I'll do it. So I definitely leveraged it. I don't know if I would have got there without the video series content. But
the change that I saw in you, I was like, I want a piece of that. I definitely want to see, 'cause that transformation, like you started glowing. I'm not saying that he was a horrible person before. It was quite a nice guy before, but, you know, quite jumpy, a little bit anxious from time to time. But now he's just so peaceful. And it's kind of like, it's hard not to be jealous of that.
Yeah. That's really interesting. It's an interesting observation. And it's one that comes up quite a lot, I think, actually. I've got a family in our church that are similar. And the dad said to me, he watched all three of his daughters become Christians. And he said, I saw the lack of peace that they had in their life before and how much that changed when they found Jesus. And I just thought, I need to understand what this is about. And which is, you know, I think a very beautiful thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
And, you know, there's the old saying, share the gospel, use words if necessary. But I think one of the ways that the gospel does speak without words very often is that change in us, in the peace and the joy that we carry. And it's really beautiful to hear that like flowed out of you and that your best mate spotted that so quickly and so early in the process.
It's like an aura.
So was the drive to use social media to document this journey because that impacted you on your journey, or was that something you were already interested in and were doing?
I'll be honest, the reason that I'd started social media was for the demographic, someone exactly like me. Like you said, this use of social media kind of drew me in. My idea was, can I be a quote-unquote a normal 26-year-old man at the time that someone will look at and go, oh, he's a normal bloke, he doesn't look like one of these crazy Christians. That's the impression that I had. Every Christian was some absolute nutter at the time. Can I just be another number online to help someone in their journey? And it was a case for me, if I can help just one person, like myself, just look into the Gospels, just hear about the Gospels. Because I knew from my own experience, I just had no idea about Jesus. And I was like, if more people have the same experience I did and hear about Jesus and hear about the truth and the evidence behind it, surely there'd be more people that will come to Christ. So for me, the reason I started social media was just to help anyone of my age demographic that might be either searching or just, yeah, curious, I guess.
And it's interesting that both of you said that in your experiences growing up in school, like, there was no RE. You don't feel like you learn anything about the Christian faith. And I think that is really representative now of kind of our societal level of the understanding of what it means to be a Christian. And it's interesting that you are now seeing a lot of Gen Z kids tell stories like yours of God impacting their lives in really miraculous ways, like through the death of a parent or a strange random dream, or, you know, something that's just driven them to go buy a Bible, which sounds super weird to me. Like, but this seems to be how God is calling a generation back to himself that haven't been taught that from elsewhere. Can I ask what either of your parents have felt about this journey?
My mum didn't know for a while. She hasn't known about, like, she knew about the Christianity. She didn't know about the social media stuff that I was doing. But when the whole Christianity thing came around, it was like, oh, we're supportive, but I don't believe in any of that, but we'll support you. But then they came to my baptism, like my family came to my baptism. It was really powerful. Like my brother was in tears. My mum was in tears. My dad was tearing up. So they all like felt something. I was like, they must have seen a transformation. And it's just been a strange road, because as much as I talk about Christ or try and represent Christ, it's still kind of a very hardened heart view. And I've seen, like, what Lewis has said about me. It's like, you've changed. And I'm like, why are my parents not seeing it? Why are they not interested in this whole Christianity thing? But they've been supportive, but not open yet, I would say.
And what about yours?
So my mum doesn't know, but my stepdad, he, when I first told him I'm going to be doing this course, he was like, that's great. That's fantastic. Because that means I don't have to feed you on a Wednesday. but as I was coming back from each week, I was telling him this is what I'd learned about the Bible, about Jesus, about Christianity. And he listened to me, but he wouldn't ask any questions, you know, sort of like as a father would. And then when it got to the end of the course, he was like, what do you think? It's like, I'm so convinced. I got convinced, I think, after the fourth or fifth week. I was like, why have I not looked into this myself? I feel like an idiot. But after the full course, he's like, what do you think? I told him I'm fully convinced now. And I'd like to see where the next steps are for me on this. Because when you're convinced, there's always this question around, how do you give your life to Christ? And you know, you've asked the question. And I know that I want to do it. I don't know where to do it. And then he opened up to me about his journey through faith. So he's a full atheist, but he grew up in a small village and he took part as a choir boy in his church. But that's it. That's the only exposure he's had to it. So whenever I'm talking to him about it, he sort of challenges my views now. Now that I'm openly sort of presenting Christianity in the house, he's challenging my God. This is what this means in the Bible. Why did this happen? So it's nice to sort of have that to bounce back and forth this, because he sort of keeps me real to the faith as well. If that makes sense.
That's interesting that you invite that challenge and you think it's a positive thing. That just shows you have an inquisitive mind, perhaps. You want to find the answers to the questions.
You should have heard what I was like when I first started going to this alpha course.
Really?
I thought I was being open and honest with these folks, but when I look back, I was nasty.
He wasn't nasty. He's never been nasty to anyone, I don't think. He was very inquisitive. It's always nice to have someone on the table at an alpha course.
100%.
Like, everyone else was a Christian, and then Lewis was the atheist. And he's going, that's a load of rubbish. That's a load of rubbish. That's a load of rubbish. And then it's like a counterattack. Like, no, this. And Lewis is like, oh, yeah, you got a point with that. So It was cool journey.
Yeah,
cool
if you run an alpha course, you want people to ask honest questions, because otherwise, like, what is the point? What is the point? Everyone sits around there looking very politely at one another and no one wants to, you know, admit that they've got a question.
Yeah.
It's always great to have someone say, no, I've got some things I would like you to answer, please. Even if it's hard or tough, I think, you know, you can always be like, oh, I don't know the answer to that one. I'll go look it up. And I think that's a good question to ask you. This is one of the things I think Christians are sometimes frightened about. They're frightened that if they share their faith with a friend who doesn't believe what they believe, that they're going to get asked some hard questions that they are not going to know the answer to, and then that they're going to either do a bad job and put someone off Jesus, or they're just going to look like an idiot and be embarrassed. Has that ever happened between you two, and how have you handled it?
Because I came to faith on a lot of apologetics, I love it. Like, I've read a lot of books, I've watched so much stuff on apologetics. So if anyone gives me like a hard question, I'm like, oh, now I can really try and test myself. But I don't think between me and Lewis, because I definitely got tested by other friends more at the beginning of my faith, and I didn't have an answer. I was just kind of stood there like, oh, praying, oh, what do I do? What do I do? And I didn't have an answer. But then Lewis's journey came a bit later on in my journey. So I feel like I've had some, there's always some answers that are going to leave room for explanation, and I'm not going to do a good job. But I think between me and Lewis, if there has ever been a time like that, the good thing is I don't have to answer it at the alpha table. It's like, oh, I'll come back to you next week. I'll just go home and research it and give Lewis a call and go, wow, this is the answer, or this is the best explanation I've got.
And how does that feel to you as someone who's exploring faith? Would you prefer someone gives you like a glib answer in the minute, or does it bother you if they're like, I need to go and read about that and come back to you?
That's the whole point of, like, you're asking a question because you're intrigued to know the answer. And I'd rather somebody took that away, took the responsibility and say, I'm going to find out the honest, true answer for this, rather than just try and make it up on the spot. Because that might have diverted me away.
Mm.
I just made something up and ended up getting it wrong. I would have thought, well, maybe this isn't for me then. But because they had that, they took that home with them and they brought it back the next week, to me, that demonstrates a tremendous amount of effort and how much they're putting in their faith and how much they want me to experience this with them as well. So it really meant a lot to me.
So you've said that you've got to the end of Alpha. You've decided by kind of early on in the process that you probably think it's true, but you haven't yet got to a point where you've made a firm commitment to follow Jesus the rest of your days. What's stopping you? Putting you on the spot. Question.
This is the big... I really want to do it. I really want to give my life to Christ. And I'm at that point in my life where I'm looking for how does it get done? And I know for Jay, for him, he went to the church. He said, help me find Christ. Met someone, said a prayer, gave his life to Christ right there. And then for me, I'm sort of just, I don't feel like I'm worthy of it. And I think a lot of Christians, they reach that point in their life where they're like, I'm convinced, I'm ready, but I don't feel worthy. And for me, it's trying to understand that that's what grace is all about. None of us are worthy. But that's why we do it. You know, we take that step of faith. And
sounds like you're giving yourself your own answer.
Yeah.
Honestly.
I am. Oh, sorry. Yeah, so I'm just waiting, really, for that last final step. I know I'm ready. I need to get it done.
Can I just say, I hope Lewis doesn't mind me sharing, we had a conversation in the car last week, and originally Lewis wasn't taking this step of faith to give his life to Christ because he was waiting for something. And it came to Lewis has said, he goes, well, that I've come to the realization that's faith. It's like, I need to take the step of faith and then God will show himself to me. And I was like, you've hit the nail on the head, Lewis, like that is it. But I've had this conversation with Lewis before, and that's the beauty of Christ. And the more he's going to read about Christ, the grace is given. The classic analogy is, you don't get in the shower clean to get clean. You get in the shower dirty to get clean. So we've had these conversations, and he's on the edge of his seat still, but...
But what a beautiful thing that you have each other to walk through this process. And this is what, you know, evangelism looks like. It's kind of saying, I will journey this path with you for as long as it takes, and I will talk with you, and I will walk with you, and I will pray with you. And you get to do that together. And that's you know, a lady in a church did that for you, and you get to do it for your friend, which is beautiful, isn't it?
Exciting.
And even though you haven't made that step, you guys have still carried on sort of journeying towards Jesus post-Alpha. So tell me what you've been doing since the Alpha course finished, and that meant you had no more content to create on that front.
But we're just kind of looking for a church that's nearby, that's easy for us to get, but also has quite like a lot of a lot going on for it, and like youth programs and things like that, because I want to learn more about the Bible. I don't get home, and I barely open my Bible at home. And this is one of the barriers as well for me, giving my life to Christ. I feel like I don't read the Bible enough. I don't pray enough. They're just not good enough. So I'd like to find a church where there is a lot of youth activity that I can get involved in and do like Bible study groups and things like that. So it gives me a reason to go and open my Bible and explore it with other people who have been Christians a lot longer than me. There's a lot of passages in there. I was reading it today. what was it? It was John chapter 4. Jesus was explaining the harvest, sowing and reaping, and it's like you're reaping what somebody else has sown, and I'm like struggling to understand what that actually means. And I'm hoping that somebody out there has read that, has interpreted that, and then says, well, yeah, of course, you know, this you're on the journey. Everything that's you're living off of somebody else's land, somebody else's efforts, you are reaping what somebody else has sown in the previous generations, what God has done for you. And at that point, I'm like, oh, fantastic. It's a light bulb moment. So, yeah, we've looked through, I think we've done about 7 or 8 churches now. It's quite a lot. And every single one of them has got their pros, it's got their cons, and it makes for a really good video series as well. It's not that bad. But, yeah, we're still on the lookout for a good church to call home.
I think the beauty of recording, finding a church, from my perspective, is so many people message me saying, my church, it's the best. But there might be someone out there that doesn't know where the best church is, and they're struggling to find a church. And we've struggled to find a church. Like, we have struggled to both agree on this is the one, this is good, this is bad. We know that there's no perfect church. There will never be a perfect church. That's not going to happen. But for us, is there a church that we know that we're going to be able to call it a home at some point? And we just haven't found that yet. So what I've enjoyed about recording it is there are people out there that haven't found a connection to a church, and they're still struggling to find this church that they call home. And hopefully that will resonate with some people, that it's okay to shop about if you've not found your church, and then you'll stumble on a church that works for you. So I think with lots of prayer, we'll eventually find a church soon. But it's just a challenge, because it has to be in a certain area for both of us to work, and this and that. And it's like we don't want to like position ourselves too far out for youth groups or Bible study groups. And Lewis is closer and he'll go to everyone, and I've got to travel an hour to get there, because we don't live in the same town. We're still 30 minutes from each other. So is there something in the middle, or something that we can both go to that kind of takes us the same amount of time to get to? But it's been a journey, but I'm with lots of prayer, I think we'll find the church very soon.
Yeah, there are a number of churches that people have recommended in the comments. Traveled as far as Bristol to so well, it did quite good. Like, you go in, the welcome team is very welcoming. Free teas, coffees, like donuts as well. One of the
amazing
worship is absolutely fantastic as well.
So I've been in church pretty much since I was 13 years of age, so for me going to church is a fairly normal experience. But I, in conversation with some people that come to my church now that are much newer Christians, who've become Christians in their 20s, much like you guys, it has struck me that if you have not grown up going to church, especially a more charismatic church with a band and people waving their hands in their ear, it may seem like a slightly unusual experience. And there's a big difference for a lot of people between reading the Bible and deciding that you think it's factually real, and even saying, I love the person of Jesus that I've read in scripture, and actually joining a Christian community and living your life as a Christian. How have you found that experience? Like, did you walk into church and go, I love this? Or did you kind of go, this is a bit weird, I don't know what to make of this?
There was the, so the first time I ever went to church post Alpha was a Sunday memorial service. And I remember walking in, and it was like a really old fashioned church. What was it? It's East Orthodox Church or something like that.
Just Anglican Church.
And walking in, and obviously when it's set up for remembrance service, it's a bit of a different service. I remember walking in and thinking, this is what I remember from learning about in school.
Yeah.
So this is quite familiar to me. Then they did the worship, but it wasn't a very good worship. Sounds hard.
Don't tell them that.
Well, it was a good worship, but, you know, playing the wrong keys, things were a little bit off tune. And I remember looking at Jay and thinking, you come here every week. Good going. But I think we both admitted that wasn't, like, if you brought somebody to church for the first time and that was their first impression of church, it's not a very good first impression. But I held out and I said, well, we'll do another church. We'll see, like, what these more modern churches are like, because they are more appropriate and tailored towards Gen Z. So we went to another church, went to one in Trowbridge. The worship was just phenomenal. Absolutely phenomenal. Like a really young band, lots of people up there. They're just playing the amazing, amazing music. And I remember thinking, I can't believe that Christianity is like this whole genre of music.
Yeah.
It's fantastic. It's amazing. I remember Jay told me you went to big church festivals. I think, what, a festival? Like, and it's a 3-day festival. Like, this whole part of life that I've never even heard of. So walking into the church for the first time, it was a pretty bad experience, but I'm glad that I gave it another go. A second experience, it just blew me away. And I felt very, very comfortable there as well. That's something that I don't really take much notice to until I walked out of a church. I realized how warm and how comfortable I actually felt inside. It was really, really unique.
I took Lewis to my home church for the first time. I was there for a year, and I think when I first walked into the church, it was very familiar. It was kind of what I remembered church to be like from like primary school and stuff. So I think I felt like a sense of comfort, like a bit of like, this is what I remember. Yes, the worship's very old school. I think on the service that Lewis went to, it was even more old school. So many people say it's like, I bring my friend to church one time and it all goes wrong. And it was like that. It was a bit like, oh, I definitely brought him to the wrong yeah. service. But I think Lewis has hit the nail on the head with, I think from my experience, when I went into that church, which was, yeah, old school, Anglican, old style worship, there's a whole other world out there. I remember the first real experience of like hands in the air worship was at Big Church Fest. And there were so many young people. And I was like, oh, I felt like judged to put my hands up. I was like, I don't do this at church. Like I just stand there with my hands in front of me or behind me and kind of do these old school hymns. And that's kind of what I've been used to. But there's a whole world out there of young people who love Jesus, and it's incredible to see. So I think that got me hooked even more. Once I went to that festival, I was like, oh yeah, I do need this youth fellowship, and I do need this different style of worship every now and then to really fill my spirit up. So yes, it is really, really strange, like a whole world out there you've never known before. And it's a great world to be in.
The first time I took my husband to church, who's then my boyfriend, when we were in our early 20s, he had grown up in a tiny rural Anglican church that was very quiet, and he had not yet really given his life to Christ. And I took him to a crazy church in North London that I knew was a little bit edgy anyway. But on that particular morning, they had a rapper over from America who was bouncing around the tables, and they were singing worship songs to club backing tracks. And honestly, I think if he could have disappeared into the floor, like, it was exactly that, but yeah. The other extreme. I was like, this is the worst thing that could have happened ever. He's never going to come back to church with me ever. But thank you somehow to the kindness of God, he didn't quit on it either. And yeah. We eventually found a church that we could both be happy in. So yeah, sometimes it is a journey, isn't it? And you forget how many flavours and expressions there are, and quite how, yeah, that it is its own microcosm of culture in some ways, that if you've lived outside of it all your life, you're like, what is this? I've never known this before. So tell me, what has it been like for you guys within your wider friendship group to have they commented at all on either or both of your journeys? Has it been difficult, hard? How's that look like?
Well, so during the Alpha course, I was quite open with my friends about my journey. Every week I'd finish the course on the Wednesday night, and Thursday I'd come into work. I'd just start talking to everybody at work about it. And
a moral support from them.
Really?
Especially at first. Yeah, they were like, that's fantastic. It's amazing that you're doing this. And then as the weeks went on, they were like, that's interesting. You seem to be taking this very seriously now.
Oh, so do you think they were more okay with it in the beginning because you were sort of... They thought, oh, this won't last, or he's a bit sceptical about it.
I don't know, to be honest. I everybody knows me as quite like an open-minded mm-hmm. person.
Yeah.
So when I was exploring this, they were like, oh, it'd be nice to see what sort of conclusion he comes back with. Mm. But then as I was leaning more towards it, they were like, nah, he's leaning too far.
Interesting.
So they were asking like a lot of questions. And there are also lots of people at work who I had no idea were Christian. And when I would tell them I'm doing an Alpha course tonight, they're like, oh, that's really interesting. I did an Alpha course 30 years ago or something like that. Not 30 years ago, but, you know, a time ago. And I'd be like, that's really interesting. So are you a Christian? I've been Christian for ages. I've been Christian my whole life. I was like, I had no idea. Loads of people at work who I'd known for many years had just had this whole part of their life that it's one of those things you don't really talk about at work. Mm. You know, it's always work. And
what we could do to do our jobs, but we never actually talk about what we get out to outside of work. So I guess it was kind of refreshing if I came in and started speaking about all this stuff. But at first, yeah, lots and lots of support. But then the questions started rolling in. They were like, what about the money? What happens with the money? You should go there and ask them what happened with the money. I was like, sure, yeah, okay. Well, what sort of questions have you got? Like, let me take these questions from you. I'll ask then. I'll get back to you. It might take a couple of weeks.
Turn up to Alpha with your list of questions gathered from your workplace that week.
Pretty much a mental list, I think, at one point. I had about 6 or 7 questions.
But yeah, so then I'd go to the Alpha course, ask these questions, and then obviously they'd have to take a week to get back to me. But towards the end of it, people were like, you are different. There is something about you. You're talking slower, you know, and you just seem a lot more happier now. And I'm like, it's rubbing off on me.
Yeah, I've always been very impressed with Lewis's openness. I think when Lewis said at the beginning, like, I was quite shy. And it was a bit like, oh, I don't want to... I know this is odd. I know that becoming a Christian and thinking about Christianity at this age is a strange experience. So I was very, very... shy at the start, whereas Lewis has been a sharer and a brave sharer. Like, there's an evangelist in that man somewhere. So I was in awe of what Lewis was doing with his friends and work colleagues, just really sharing his faith. It was impressive to see, because it's just something I didn't do. Me and Lewis have got, like, we don't share the same friendship group, so we kind of friends from an old job. When it comes to my friends, they were very similar to how Lewis's friends acted, very much like, you're chatting rubbish here, mate, like, you, what are you going on about? Like, but they have opened up slightly more. I think at the start they do think it's a phase. I think they see it as like, you'll get over this. You'll get over this. This is just a 5-minute thing. You'll do it.
Or you'll quit when it gets hard.
You'll quit when it gets hard. I can get hard as well. So, and I didn't. And I think that's when it's made them step back and go, okay, we'll listen slightly more. We're not there yet. No one's been half as open as Lewis, but they have started to listen. And the thing that was important to me is these friends I've grown up with and have been there for me and done so much for me. I'm not going to go, a fan, Christ, I'm going to completely step away from you guys. I would never do that. I wouldn't want to do that. It's a case of, can I be, like you said, the fifth gospel, in a sense of can I just show the love of Christ, and that will help them understand where I've come from. But yeah, it's met similarly to my parents. It's a bit of a, this is a bit strange, like, what are you talking about? You'll get over it. And then it's kind of like, oh, he's not got over it because he thinks it's true. Let's hear him out slightly more. But we're getting there with lots of prayer.
That's how it always starts, isn't it? It's always, let's hear him out. But then there's the question mark of a bit where they're like, maybe he is onto something. And then it's at that point where it's like, you're ready to come to an alpha now. Experience for yourself.
Yeah. So have you got to a point where you're going to invite anyone else to an alpha course now?
Do you know what? I would love to. Some people to an alpha. We could make that another series. Yeah.
My atheist series friends.
Series two with my mum, I think. I'd love that. I'd love my mum to come. She's so against coming, but I was like, Mum, please come with me. That would be so, so good. You might become a Christian, but yeah.
Or an Instagram star.
Or an Instagram star. That might tempt her more, to be honest.
So I wondered sometimes whether this is harder for blokes than it is for girls. Like, you've talked about not wanting to quit on your big group of friends that you've had for ages, and you've been quite open on social media about, like, what that's looked like for you practically, going on pub crawls and not drinking and all those kinds of things. What's been the biggest challenge in terms of coming to grips with, like, kind of, oh, okay, I now believe Christianity is historically true, now I have to live out some of this tough stuff?
I would say it's the lifestyle. I think I did the whole university thing as a non-Christian, and the way I was acting and drinking and just acting a bit silly, and that's kind of who I was, that was what I was acting out with these friends. And that's the things that needed changing in my life, is there needed to be an overhaul of my personality and what I enjoyed. But what I started to realize after coming to Christianity is that at the very start, as a new Christian, I was still kind of doing some of these things, and I just realized that I was trying to fill a hole that wasn't getting filled by this rubbish going out and partying or acting a certain type of way. And there's a hole, a Christ-shaped hole that I was told about. And I'm after continuing to do these things, I realized that there actually was a Christ-shaped hole, that these things of going out, drinking, they don't bring true fulfillment. They don't bring true happiness. They're almost just a filler for something deeper and something more meaningful that's needed. So for me, the Spirit was convicting me to just walk away from those things more and more, and you'll find peace elsewhere. And when I was ignoring the Spirit and still doing those things, it was like, I actually don't find fulfillment in this anymore. So it was my lifestyle that needed to change. And I wanted to change. And since I have, I don't enjoy those things anymore. And I enjoy other things now. I enjoy sitting down and praying and reading my Bible, which is a strange thing. You would have never said a couple of years ago, I'd be like, what are you on about? But now it's like, I'd rather do that. I'd rather do that than go and act like this lad that I used to be.
That's interesting. What do you wish the church knew? Like, you both said kind of, express the sentiment that I've grown up for most of my life not knowing about this. And Lewis, you talked even about having long-term friends at work who you had no clue that they were a Christian. Is there an onus on the church to work harder, and on Christians individually who do know Jesus, to share their faith in a different way to reach young people?
I think the audiences sort of change with the time, don't they? You know, the internet coming out and things like that. There are new platforms like
even doing this, where you can reach a different audience. But ultimately, I think it's the people themselves. They need to be open to those kind of questions, because otherwise you'd never find yourself listening to it. I think what people are doing at the moment, you know, speaking out on the streets, online, doing video series like this, you're doing quite a lot. But really, there needs to be a shift in the public mind and public perception of just don't be so like closed off. Like what I know is the absolute truth and no one can change that for me. Because if we all thought like that, no one would get along. We'd be arguing with everybody because I believe my truth is more honest than your truth. But when we start talking and start debating, start exploring together, you start listening, people I think would then be a lot more open to find themselves literally walking into a church on their own merits. Mm-hmm. I think church does a lot. There might be more that they can do. I'm not the person to ask. I definitely can speak for myself that having an open mind is what brought me there.
Me and Lewis at church the other day, and the pastor was talking about the Great Commission. And I do think that there is an onus on Christians to do a touch more. I don't know if that's like a taboo thing to say, but as a person who grew up not as a Christian, as an atheist, it's a bit like Lewis said, his work colleagues all came out saying they were Christians. No one ever told me that they were a Christian. No one had ever spoken to me.
You didn't knowingly know a Christian before you had this experience.
Not at all. And it was a case of how am I meant to know? Like no one even went, "Oh, I'm a Christian." I cannot recall one person saying that to me. And that can go a long way because someone says they're a Christian, and then you go, "Well, they're actually nicer than a non-Christian." Might not always be the case. A bit like Lewis, he's one of the nicest people I've ever met, and he was not a Christian. But it's a case of can we do more? Can we just drop the name of Jesus or Christianity in conversations to someone that might not be a Christian? And that's something that I'm trying to do. You don't want to preach. You don't want to go, "Hey, like, do this, think of this." It's like, I'm a Christian. Like, yeah, it's done a lot for me. Like, this is my testimony. And that can go a long way with someone. You never know what someone's going through or if they're struggling for meaning and purpose, and Jesus comes up at the right time. You don't know how that will change someone's life.
There's also the someone's confiding in you because something is happening in their life. You almost want to say, "Can I pray for you?" But you don't know how it's going to come across. They might see that as even as an insult. You might be like, "Pray for me." Absolutely not. I don't want my situation to get worse. But it's like, no, I want to help you. I want to help heal you. I believe prayer could help you. And is it not worth a shot?
Definitely. I don't think I've ever known anyone I've ever said, "Would you mind if I pray for you?" that's actually said no. Most people, even if they don't have a faith, will kind of go, "Sure, I'll give that a shot." Like, you know, something's going on in your life, you're struggling. How do you think that going forward, this is going to pan out? Are you going to carry on checking out churches?
I'm hoping that we're going to settle at a church.
You're hoping you're going to find one and commit to it. And that Lewis is going to have his moment.
Lewis is going to have his moment. But the next step for us is to settle in a church. Be with the youth fellowship, create a new group of friends, and go from there and see where that takes us together, and Lewis's journey with God. I'm really excited to see what God does in Lewis's life. I know it's going to be very cool to witness, but yeah, I think that's the next step for us, what I feel anyways.
And you've already tried your hand at a bit of street evangelism I saw in your Instagram feed. How was that?
Going out again after this? No, I'm not. The thing is, I'm like, how do I feel about street evangelism? I don't know. So then when it was there, and it was, the guy, the chap that was there came up and was like, do you want to speak on the mic?
Did you know him beforehand? Or was random?
I was in London. I was cycling around. I think I was cycling to a friend's house. And there was just worship music in the middle of the street. I was like, oh, that sounds pretty cool. I'll go over. And I started joining in, dancing and stuff. And I was like, this just never would have been me anyway. Like, just dancing to Christian tunes in the middle of Piccadilly Circus. Nope. So that was a big leap anyway. And then one of the chaps, the leader of it, was like, do you want to speak on the mic? And I was like, I literally stood there like, yeah. Everything in me wanted to get on my line bike and just vanish, just disappear into obscurity. So he would go, oh, well, he's gone. Like, my feet were welded to the spot. I was like, I have to stay. It was like something made me stay. God made me stay in that moment. I was like, oh, why? I don't want to do this.
This is much more comfortable doing it behind a camera to the anonymous audience of social media.
Yeah, 100%. But yeah, the mic was handed to me and I just did what I knew to do just to share my testimony. And to be fair, the young people that were there did tune in. I think they just saw like someone young and went, why has he got the microphone? And they listened. So it was cool to do. And I'm really glad that God made me kind of stay on that spot and do it. But yeah, I don't know if that's my calling. I'm praying it's not my calling.
Maybe it's Lewis's.
Maybe.
There's lots and lots of different ways to tell your stories. Yeah. And that's the beautiful thing about evangelism. And it's been really beautiful to talk to you today about what it means to share your faith within a friendship. So thank you so much for being with me and for sharing your stories.
That was me, Emma Fowle, talking to Jay and Lewis about their faith journey that they've been documenting together online. And I caught up with Lewis a few months later to get a status update.
But yeah, I just wondered if you might be able to like just tell me really briefly what happened, what made you move towards the final. I'm gonna go round CJ and pray with him.
Yeah, well, that was never the plan. It was sort of like a so it was April Fool's Day,
yeah,
right, just to set the scene, 1st of April, and Jay and his girlfriend, they were like, oh, do you want to come round, you know, and spend some time together? I was like, yeah, all right then, okay. And then that evolved into, oh, let's get some food. I ended up spending pretty much the whole evening there. And topic of Christianity came up. We were like just talking about our testimonies and where we are in life. And the inevitable question came up, how are you feeling about it? And I've been sat on the fence for ages. And I think I mentioned on the podcast that I've been sat on the fence waiting for God to give me the signal. And at some point, you've got to take that leap of faith, right? You've got to be the one to say, no, I'm ready to go. I'm ready to do this. And it just felt like the right time. And to be honest, I've been on this fence for a long time. And I think after spending the day at Premier, it definitely like tipped the scale in the favor, especially when you guys all prayed for me. That was, I'd never felt anything like that before. Like,
really?
I was quite literally shaking. Towards the end of it, I was like, what is going on? I was surprised I wasn't levitating, you know. It was like, I was so uplifted with the Spirit. But yeah, so I just knew that was the moment. It was time. And Jay, I think Jay was ready for it because he had a prayer ready to go. And he's like, let's do it right now. Let's do it. And we did.
So cool. That's so cool. And how do you feel now?
Oh, I'm just elevated. Every day just feels so much more elevated now. It's like, it's like I've been waiting for my question to be answered. And now I'm at peace with it that I don't need that question to be answered anymore. I'm just living life. It's just, every day feels like it's 110% now. Like you feel everything so much more deeper. There's like more reason to it as well. And oh, it's so phenomenal. Do you know, because it was April Fool's Day afterwards, Jay looked me in the eyes and he goes, I swear, if this has been like a 6-month prank until today, phenomenal work, by the way, but I'm going to hate you. I'm never speaking to you again. I was just like, yeah, mate, this is April Fool's Day.
You're going to ring me in the morning and say, this is a joke.
Absolutely cooking.
So massive, the living God.
Yeah. Oh, but that was, yeah, it was such a wonderful day, honestly.
That's so sweet. And how's your church journey going? You got anywhere?
I think we are settling down at a church that's local to me in Trowbridge.
Oh, so cool. That's good.
It got to the point where we were 8 episodes in to finding a church, and Jay said, we can't rinse this as a series, you know, we're going around and shopping for a church. It doesn't feel very faithful, you know. It's God's house. We are called to God's house. And we'd been to, it's a Vineyard church that's near me. We'd been there before. The second time we went around, we got like a bit of a, oh, this service wasn't as good, you know, we're not too sure about this one, so let's keep looking around. But I think you have to sort of draw the line somewhere. You're never going to get a perfect service. It's never going to be perfect every single time. You know, you kind of have to manage your expectations for that.
Yeah.
And what me and Jay, we talked about it. What is it that we're actually looking for in a church? And it's something that's not super, super established where we're just going to blend into the audience. We want something where we can join and use our talents and our tithe and actually make a big difference.
Yeah.
So we landed at the Vineyard Church because it's got a pretty good community, but still relatively small and lots of opportunity for us to get stuck in.
Oh, that's really nice. I mean, you're dead right. I mean, I've been at the same church for 20 years and it's far from perfect. And there are often times where I feel frustrated with it and stuff. But I think, you know, like when we actually found the church before we moved to Cornwall, before we found a place to live, before we found a job. And we felt like that was the place God put us. And I've never felt like he's told me to go somewhere else. So we've stayed even when it's got hard. And I think it's quite easy now, especially with the internet and stuff. Like you can listen to the best preachers in the world on in your earbuds or you're walking the dog. Like in some respects, you don't need church for that. You don't even need it for worship. We've got Spotify. You can do that by yourself. But like you do need it for community and you do need to put down roots and you do need to, you know, the way the Bible talks about church, it's for our benefit.
Yeah.
But we are also called to serve church. Like we're part of the body. Like you being there is part of outworking your Christian faith. Like, and so eventually you have to go, well, I'm going to commit to this place and I'm going to be part of it.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, what you say about the internet, it's like it's so true. It's like it's like dating. You know, you're just swiping through it and something better something better is going to keep coming along coming along. And that's sort of where our mindset was. We kept checking out churches and we're like, this was a great church, but something better might be out there. So let's keep looking.
Yeah.
And it's not a good mindset to have.
No. Eventually you need the Christian community and just people around you that are going to, you can grow with. And if you can find that, if it's like, if the teaching's solid and the Holy Spirit's there, that's the most important thing. You feel at home, you know.
Absolutely.
What a great story, and so phenomenal that Premier got to be just a small part of Lewis's journey. Now, don't forget, if you enjoyed this conversation, you can listen to many, many more by downloading The Profile as a podcast from wherever you normally get your podcast from, or visit premier.plus/The Profile.
You've been listening to The Profile in association with Premier Christianity Magazine.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. At ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.